In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. At every single Mass, you hear those words, "Behold the Lamb of God." And it's done so as an indication of the reality of what is about to occur with regards to the reception of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. When you consider the reality of what it is that you are doing at the Mass, it almost begs the question, why is it that you don't necessarily, after having this direct encounter with Christ that is even more intimate than what Andrew and John his humility never mentions himself by name, but he is the other disciple, former disciple of John the Baptist, who along with Andrew follows Jesus. Why do we not have the same enthusiasm when we experience so much more? After all, the gift of faith was most assuredly given to Andrew and John, and they cooperated with grace and they followed the Christ, but you and I receive so much more because we receive Jesus. And when we receive him and we're worthy of that reception, he is closer to our souls than our souls are to the very selves. It is an intimacy beyond comprehension. Body, blood, soul, divinity of the Christ received, given to us for our benefit. For love always gives. It never seeks for itself. It always offers. The encounter that Andrew and John have with the Christ is enough for them to change everything. And realize the encounter of Christ and where they stayed would not have been something extravagant. For this dynamic, Jesus was on the road, as it were, and he was by himself at that time. So therefore, he would have done what most travelers were doing. He would have built a tiny little shelter out of reeds to cover himself from the sun. And that's where he brought Andrew and John. He brought them to that little humble shelter. And they were transformed by their encounter with him. And again, an encounter that goes far, that is far less than what you and I experience when we receive Holy Communion. So we know that grace builds on nature, and we know that will follows understanding. So what is it that's impeding you, perhaps, from being like Andrew and John? Because what's the first thing Andrew and John did? They went and brought someone back to Jesus, family. Andrew brought his brother, Simon, whom Jesus would rename Cephas, Peter. And according to further reading in John, John brings his brother James. So they're so moved. You know, this is one of the awful, horrendous benefits of Protestantism, that awful heresy, and the reality of what too many Catholics do by embracing Protestantism. It makes everything radical individuality. So as long as I accept Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to heaven, and you can do it if you want, but I'm going to do it nonetheless. There's no sense of, I have found the Messiah. I have found goodness, truth, and beauty. And because I love my family, I want to bring them to goodness, truth, and beauty. A Protestant cannot experience the Christ outside of the sacraments. He may do so by valid baptism, but that's only the beginning. And yet Protestants seem to have more zeal to bring others into their entertainment circle under the auspices of accepting Jesus as personal Lord and Savior than Catholics do. Catholics don't love their neighbors because they tolerate the Catholic that becomes Protestant. They tolerate the Catholic that becomes lapsed. They tolerate the Catholic that stays in a liberal Catholic church that has very little to do with the true faith. Why would that be? Because will follows understanding. And so it's going to be about how you understand the Christ. That's going to determine how you follow him. That's going to determine whether or not you're like Andrew and John and bring others to a sacramental encounter with Christ that goes beyond anything that we are capable of, that cannot be experienced by the Protestant heretics, that cannot be experienced outside of Holy Mother Church. If you loved your neighbor, if you loved your family members, you'd want them to be here. If you love them. But perhaps you don't understand the Christ. That might be it. Here are the possibilities. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's all he says. And that causes Andrew and John to follow Jesus. It's what lamb means. It's what he meant when he said Lamb of God that caused Andrew and John to follow. Did he mean the Lamb of Isaiah? The quiet, gentle Lamb that offers no protestation when it's brought to the shears and then to slaughter? I think many Catholics embrace that gentle Lamb because that gentle Lamb never challenges them. That gentle lamb always agrees with them. That gentle lamb is silent when they pridefully go about life doing whatever they want, interpreting religion however they want it to be, and the lamb says nothing. Which makes sense then as to why they would not try to convert lapsed Catholic family members, Protestant family members, because they see the quiet lamb says nothing. He accepts whatever you do as legitimate. He changes himself for you. You don't cooperate with grace and change yourself for him. Clearly, Andrew and John did not see the lamb in that way. Well, there are aspects to Isaiah's description of the lamb that are accurate, but only when Christ is the suffering servant, beginning in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah. But that's only one aspect of the Christ that too many Catholics embrace. What else could have John meant by lamb? Perhaps he meant the lamb that was offered every single day in the temple sacrifice, which is a holocaust offering praise to God. Certainly, that's how the Pharisees would have understood, and that's what they wanted of the Messiah. Because that means that you have a sense of entitlement, that God owes you heaven, God owes you salvation, God owes you the good life, God owes you that everything is supposed to work out perfectly and there shall be no adversity. The Pharisees believed they were owed salvation because they were sons of Abraham. Just as a Protestant wrongly believes that just because they become the unmoved mover, the uncaused cause, and accept Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, they automatically go to heaven. That was the mistake of the Pharisees. And as a result, the Pharisees could not recognize the true Messiah because he did not fit what they wanted the Messiah to be. Hence, they rejected the Christ, as Protestants in the end reject the true Christ, because they will not accept our Lord's suffering on the crucifix. They will not accept the sacrifice of the Mass, which Christ commanded his apostles to do in memory of him. They will not accept it. But yet they feel that God owes them heaven because they accept him as personal Lord and Savior. As Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Do not think that because you are sons of Abraham, that salvation will be yours." Too many Catholics are like Protestants in that respect. They believe that they're owed the good life, the goodness, the good everything. Everything's supposed to work out, and they're supposed to go to heaven. No matter what they do, they're going to heaven. No matter what they say, they're going to heaven. Not recognizing that God resists the proud for a reason, to humble them, to humiliate them, so that they will learn dependence upon him, not because God is needy, but because we are desperately needy. We need salvation to combat our concupiscence, our self-love, our pride. And God resists the proud. And so therefore, if we are simply seeing the Lamb as the one offered daily at the temple sacrifice, then no wonder we're not trying to convert anyone to the Catholic faith. No wonder we put up with our Protestant relatives. No wonder we put up with our lapsed Catholic relatives. Because no matter what we do, we're going to heaven. No matter what they do, they're going to heaven. So it really doesn't matter, does it? Obviously, Andrew and John are not following that notion of Christ. Because why would they give up everything if they're guaranteed heaven? Or why would they make it a point to follow Christ if he's going to be the silent lamb that says nothing, that never challenges them? No, they understand exactly what John the Baptist meant when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He was speaking of the reality of the Lamb being innocent, of the Lamb being sinless, of the Lamb meaning the Holy One of God. And because they recognized who he was by the grace God had given them, for no one comes to the Son except by the Father, no one comes to the Father except through the Son, as Jesus said, the reality is then they knew that they were sinners in need of a Redeemer, and they knew that only the Holy One of God, God himself, could save them. They did not follow Christ because he would be silent and say nothing to challenge them, nothing to rock them out of their complacency. And they did not follow Christ because he would put up with whatever they did, because they're guaranteed heaven, because he owes it to them. No, they followed the Holy One of God because he was holiness itself, and they knew that it was going to call them to holiness. It was going to call them to live life differently. It was going to call them to make sacrifices, which the 12 apostles made all the way up to near the end. Judas would betray the Christ when pride overrode him, because after all, he wanted the Jesus that would guarantee him salvation, and the Jesus that would be silent, and the Jesus would let him to interpret the Catholic faith the way he wanted, without the authority of the church, without the guidance of the priests, without any kind of true regulation. He could do whatever he wanted. And he would betray Christ. And the other apostles would be fearful and run. Only John would be at the foot of the cross. Only John would have the courage by the grace of God. And up until the Last Supper, they never had an encounter with Christ like you and I have when we receive communion. But once they did, and once the Holy Spirit came upon them, which you and I have by virtue of confirmation, everything changed for them. Why does it not change necessarily for us? How many of you, after seeing the Lamb of God in the same exact way, when the priest acts as the precursor and says, "Behold the Lamb of God," how many of you then follow him and stay with him? And then how many of you run out to your neighbors and try to bring them to that Christ? If you're not, it's because you're probably worshiping the wrong lamb. You either see Jesus as a quiet lamb that never challenges you, or you see Jesus as the one that guarantees you a good life and salvation. But you're not following the Holy One of God. You're not following the one that changes everything. If you haven't been up to this point, today, most assuredly, is your opportunity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you. Francis our Pope, and Joseph our Bishop, and all the clergy with the people entrusted to their charge. Lord, in your mercy, for our parish, may we have an increase in faith, peace in your strength, and abundance in your goodness. Lord, in your mercy, for world leaders, may they be saved from sin and govern according to your will. Lord, in your mercy, for legal protection to children in the womb. Lord, in your mercy, for help to the sick, safety for all travelers, liberty to captives, and peace in our days. Lord, in your mercy, for the repose of the souls of the faithful departed. Lord, in your mercy,
Almighty and ever-living God, we entreat you to hear these our prayers, and through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, inspire us by the gift of faith to follow him without reserve, and to call us to the fullness of life and the sacraments of your church, over which you are Lord forever and ever.
Thank you.
sing the hymn.